we could very well see several major altcoins that you and I know and love completely die because of the actions of the SEC. In the wake of the lawsuit against Binance and Coinbase by the SEC, it is pretty much official that the final boss battle for crypto has begun. And in today's impromptu episode of Crypto Over Coffee, where I have done absolutely no writing or planning in advance, we're going to be talking about the SEC, the fact that major cryptocurrencies have been named securities, and a whole bunch more. So make sure that you stick around. By the way, today's coffee is from Onyx Coffee Roasters, one of my favorite roasters. Not sponsored, but I buy a lot of their coffee. So here's the deal. I'm recording this video in between my kid's wake windows. He's taking a nap now, so I have like an hour and 15 minutes to make this video. So I haven't written anything. This is going to be stream of consciousness, talking about what's been going on this past week after the SEC made sort of their biggest card play move of this whole saga of regulatory battling over crypto. So this past week, as you probably have heard now ad nauseum, you have a situation which is as follows. You have major accusations against Binance by the SEC, and this seems to include both Binance holistically and specifically Binance US, with commingling of funds and specific allegations against CZ, sort of the founder and leader of Binance, in facilitating a lot of these sketchy actions. Now, there are reports flowing around that CZ is nowhere to be found. To be honest with you, I wouldn't put much stock in that. On the flip side, you also have Coinbase, which we knew was eventually going to happen because the SEC made filings previously, which indicated a lawsuit against Coinbase was coming, which is which is basically about violations of securities rules, specifically becoming a broker of unregistered securities. Now, here's my problem with this whole thing. First, I'm going to criticize the crypto space, so buckle up, okay? In many ways, we have, as a community, welcomed this type of action from the SEC by being hyper-focused on gains and money and being hyper-focused on creating what is quite literally referred to and is quite literally, by nature, a crypto casino. We've created an environment where scammers and grifters have been able to thrive and extract money from people who frankly are not smart enough to protect themselves. Now, the fact of the matter is that free market people like myself would say, that's not our problem. If you can't come into a market and be educated enough to protect yourself from scams, then that's your fault. And to an extent, that's true. However, the problem is regulators don't see things that way. And unfortunately, you, myself, regardless of where you live, we are in some ways beholden to the rules that are set by governments and regulators. And to be honest with you, there are plenty of people who LARP as freedom fighters online that say, oh, I'm just not going to follow the rules. They follow the rules, okay? They're not going to not follow the rules because they don't want to get in trouble. So let's just stop pretending and lay out all the cards on the table. The fact of the matter is at this point that the SEC's actions now seem to me more like a mechanism for them to extend the fight rather than for them to end it. Here's why I say that. The SEC's battle against Ripple regarding their issuance of the XRP cryptocurrency is due to wrap up pretty quickly. And like I mentioned in a Crypto Over Coffee episode, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Hindman documents, a former SEC chairman, talking about securities and ETH and all sorts of stuff, those documents are supposed to be unsealed on June 13th, okay? So there's going to be some interesting stuff happening, and then this is going to go to summary judgment, which means the judge is going to decide, basically, whose claims are, in effect, valid, right? So it's going to be the SEC or Ripple that end up coming out victorious. However, now, based off of that court case, it's interesting timing that Binance and Coinbase both start having these lawsuits levied against them. Because what this will allow is if the SEC were to, for example, lose at least in part that case against Ripple in any part, they can then point and say, there's other things on the table here that we need to resolve before Congress or someone else, say a judge, could say, the SEC needs to basically remove themselves from the picture, right? So this is a way for them to extend the battle. It keeps them in the game longer. It allows them to flex their muscles as the SEC, as the regulator of crypto, which is really what they want. They want to have carte blanche with the budget to go after crypto. We've made that very clear throughout the last several months and probably several years now, based on the way things have happened since Gensler took office. Now, the big thing is, and I will caveat this by saying I'm not a lawyer and I don't pretend to be one online, is that regardless of the outcome of the XRP related case between Ripple and the SEC, there's still the issue of what a security is in the context of crypto in the first place. See, what Coinbase is arguing is, we've tried to register. We go to you in good faith to say, we'd like to comply. We ask you specifically what rules we need to comply with, and you basically say as the SEC, I don't know, you figure it out. So then we try and figure it out, and now you sue us, right? That's how this whole thing, in a very reductive way, right? There's nuance to this, but in a very reductive way, that's how this thing is playing out in the court of law and in many ways in the court of public opinion amongst crypto people. It's kind of like that meme you see about the IRS, which is, so the taxpayer says, how much do I owe you to the IRS? The IRS says, I don't know, you tell me. And then the taxpayer says, well, I think it's this much. And then the IRS puts you in jail, right? Again, reductive, but you get the idea. It's unclear how the rules apply. And it would be very simple, frankly. It would be damaging, but very simple for the SEC to simply say, all of the current securities rules that apply to equities also apply to crypto equally. All the registration processes are exactly the same. That would be pretty much damning to crypto because there is no way to comply with all the same rules and regulations. However, that would be clarity. So the fact that they won't even do that tells you something. What that tells you is that the SEC doesn't actually know and isn't confident that they can get the weight of legislation. So Congress, who has to actually make the rules, by the way, Congress makes the rules. The SEC evaluates what the rules are already and tries to bring enforcement action based on those rules, right? So the SEC is not writing laws. That's not their job. So the fact of the matter is, now you have the SEC in this position where clearly they're not confident that if they said all the same laws that apply to traditional securities and equities apply to crypto, it doesn't seem they're very confident that that's going to stick. And if that's the case, then you wonder what the outcome's going to be in determining individual cryptocurrencies being securities or not. If you want to know my opinion, I think we're going to end up landing through probably another 3 years of legal battles in the highest courts of the United States. There will be an addendum or an addition or an amendment rather to the existing securities laws that are going to denote digital assets or cryptocurrencies and decentralized networks and protocols. There will be specific rules that apply to those for registration of firms who deal in them, as well as projects who are creating a cryptocurrency and what they must do and rules that they must follow. Then we will have the regulatory clarity. And there will be many people in crypto who are pissed off about regulatory clarity. The fact of the matter is, though, is that really where we are now in terms of options is we have all of crypto leaves the US or some degree of regulatory clarity, some of which will be good, some of which will be bad. Those are the two options. And the libertarian LARPers out there will say, oh, you don't have to comply with anything. Okay, you do. That's just a fact. So you can be angry at me for telling you the truth, but that's up to you, right? I'm not mad about it. The biggest question that I have in my mind is how people in crypto don't think there could be issues with securities laws, though. Because if you really think about it, going back, let's just say recent times to 2017. 2017 was the dawn and the thrive and the rise of the ICO. The initial coin offering eerily sounds a lot like an initial public offering. So whoever named initial coin offering really screwed us in terms of trying to avoid relationship in one's mind to securities laws, because you're saying I'm offering a coin in what sounds very much like an IPO, which is a security on a publicly traded stock in the stock market that's subject to registrations. But anyways, I digress. The ICO boom and many of the projects that the SEC listed as securities, some big names like Cardano, for example, were participants in the ICO craze. Okay, they sold tokens, and for all intents and purposes, over the years, because these projects have been built over time by not centralized but pseudo-centralized organizations, built by companies, really, there is room for the SEC and for other regulators to go in and say, you are a security because you sold coins, which under the expectation of profit, people purchased, and they rely on you, the two or three centralized organizations who are building this protocol and publishing roadmaps and holding community meetups and stuff. They're relying on you to build this protocol, so number goes up. The problem is that both of those things rely on the community's belief and understanding as well as an organization selling tokens, sort of come together, and now you're in a gray area, right? Do I think that Cardano and many other projects in this space should be deemed securities because they are in many ways decentralized communities? The operations of the actual network where the token lives are not centralized. No, I don't think they are. However, I'm not surprised that these coins are the ones showing up on a document or showing up on a list of coins that the SEC deems securities, because it's too easy for the SEC to draw parallels between what a traditional security is if you were to create a company and sell shares and what happened with the ICO craze. So you're going to see a lot of the coins that the SEC are bringing up are ones that sold during ICO times or that sold a token sale in the same structure as an ICO, because in construction and in the way that the tokens were marketed and in the way the tokens over the last several years have been sort of valued are heavily influenced by centralized organizations building and facilitating communications with a community. And that is the issue. And so this battle is not surprising. This movement against cryptocurrencies is not surprising. And the reason why we're now in this position so quickly is in many ways because of the rampant greed that was allowed to enter and take over the space. FTX, Celsius, Terra. A lot of people will say, oh, these were just failed experiments. That's what people say about Terra, for example, and UST. These were just failed experiments. Okay, sure. If you maybe look at them at face value, oh, they're failed experiments. But if you really look behind the scenes and you see the malfeasance that happened behind the scenes in pretty much every single one of these cases where people lost billions of dollars of value from something that was a failed experiment, it shouldn't be a surprise now that regulators are going to come in and say, we need to pander and make this right and fix the problem when people are losing billions of dollars. So we're not surprised. And it's one of those things where you play stupid games and you win stupid prizes. People shouldn't be surprised that this is happening because of all the stuff that has happened in this space pretty much since 2017. To me, that was the place where this moved from being a space that was predicated on building technology that could be used to change the way we do things societally and financially to an opportunity for scammers and grifters to take from people with impunity because there are no rules, there are no guidelines, and people are greedy enough to go in and just buy something without knowing what it is. Because people don't necessarily understand the space, they don't understand the technology, and that's why you see people creating AI coins right now. I've got a video coming out about that soon. You know, all these AI coins popping up, meme coins popping up. It's a free market, you can do what you want. But it doesn't change the fact that every time you see an AI coin or a meme coin run up and then get rug pulled and leaving a bunch of victims behind, those things just build the case for regulators and critics of crypto to come after it and say it has no utility, it has no value, it's all false promises. And that's not true, but it gives the impression that that's true. And that therein lies the issue at the end of the day. So there's another big elephant in the room, which is that even if Ripple prevails over the SEC in part or in full, the court cases against Binance and Coinbase will continue. I think there's more to this Binance story than we actually know right now in terms of the relationship between Binance US and the rest of Binance. I have a feeling the Coinbase case is not going to be as cut and dry and as simple as people think it is, because Coinbase is going to end up having to fight the battle that I just talked about, which is how can you prove that the ICO world and all these coins that issued ICOs and facilitated these token sales weren't violating securities laws, and then in turn that Coinbase didn't violate securities laws by selling those tokens to other people on their platform. That's not going to be an easy thing to solve, okay? Coinbase has a great argument, which is that we tried to register, we tried to come to you, we tried to comply, we've done everything we wanted. We also issued an IPO and went through a whole rigorous evaluation of our business, and there were no red flags raised now, and why are we getting sued at this point when it could have been raised then so we could fix it? So those things are not in question, but all the SEC really has to do is prove that even one token in the list that they provided already that Coinbase sells in terms of tokens is in fact a security, and then Coinbase is implicated in violating securities laws. So it's not going to be an easy battle for Coinbase to win, and they will fight it. People say, oh, Coinbase could just leave the US. Sure they could. Here's the reason why they're not going to. Why would they be saying we're going to posture for a very expensive, very public, and very difficult fight against the SEC if they would just, they're planning on shuttering and leaving? They're clearly not planning on shuttering and leaving. So people can just let that one pass. If they change their mind, say we're not going to court, then I'd say, okay, Coinbase is leaving. But to me right now, they're not. The problem is now is that a lot of US exchanges and US crypto firms, both for institution and for retail now, are going to take this and realize we are not willing to put up the cash capital and go through the pain to fight the SEC like Coinbase is, so we're just going to preemptively shut our doors. This is already happening. You already have seen Robinhood delist ADA, for example, to a lot of fanfare and anger. And I get why there's anger. You're going to see more and more exchanges in the US that don't have the type of capital, that don't have the type of foothold, and frankly, don't have the guts. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. It would be a difficult decision for me if I were a CEO of an exchange to put my existence at risk by going toe-to-toe with the SEC. I get it. But you're going to see more and more fiat on and off ramps closing. The ability for people to get out of the cryptocurrencies that they currently have, especially the ones that are listed or related to the ones on the list the SEC has produced, which is getting longer and longer, by the way. Every time they create a lawsuit, they're naming more and more tokens. Your ability to exit crypto is going to be, in many ways, limited. Your ability now to buy cryptocurrencies that you can't get on Uniswap, for example, because not everything's an ERC-20 token, okay? Your ability to buy these cryptocurrencies may be limited in the US. That has broad implications on the altcoin markets because the US is not all of crypto. I think people get pissed off because the US is arrogant in some way about their position in the market, okay? No one's under any illusion that the US is the entire crypto market, but it's a big, big chunk. So if the US and the US retail and institutional market is basically blocked from getting into crypto from cash and out of crypto back into cash, that's going to be a major, major problem for the broader altcoin markets. This probably won't affect Bitcoin as much, maybe won't affect Ether, though I think Ether is not safe in this whole thing in complete totality yet. The point that I'm trying to make here is that major altcoins could suffer an existential threat because of this. There are coins like Algorand, for example, that are down 96-97% from their all-time highs that have now been named as potential securities by the SEC. And if the US market's taken out of the game, there needs to be demand in other places. And the fact of the matter is this, I'm not picking just on Algorand, a lot of other coins on the list are in the same exact position from a threat perspective. You close out the ability for people to get into the cryptocurrency from cash in the US, that's a problem. You block the doors, people can't get out, that's a problem for confidence. And the world of investing in crypto is a confidence market, a liquidity game. Less liquidity, not as good. Now, Europe, sure, you might have the ability to invest. There might be some places in Asia, sure, great. It's a much different story, okay? And there will be likely other Western civilizations here that follow the path that the US takes in terms of crypto regulation. And so if you start seeing the doors closing on altcoins because they've been deemed securities in the high courts of the US, that's a major, major problem. So I'm saying to you that you could very well see, following on the statistics of 2017, for example, where we suddenly fall through the trapdoor, we hit a bear market, 2018, 2019, a lot of the cryptocurrencies that were hot and popular in 2017 never recovered. And they weren't even facing court cases for the most part. So I'm telling you, based on where we are in a bear market, because we're still in one, cryptocurrencies that are named securities are going to face a very, very, very tough road, especially if you can't get into them from retail and from institutional perspectives in the US to make their way back up anywhere near where they were at the height of the bull market in 2021. And that means that a lot of these projects, for all intents and purposes, will die completely. And that is a symptom of what's happening right now with this lack of regulatory clarity. And the thing is that a lot of people fought against the idea that we need regulatory clarity in major jurisdictions because they said there should be no regulation. Okay, utopian society, sure, that would be the case. I would agree. I'm generally a advocate for less regulation, but you could see where this was going from a mile away. For years, since 2017, you knew where this was going. FTX and Celsius, Terra, UST, those things just accelerated the timeline for this all to happen. So all in all, it's going to be a very, very interesting road ahead. And I think that if you are holding cryptocurrency right now, there are a few actions that you need to take right now. If you're in the US, but even if you're in Europe as well, or if you're in Asia, or really if you're in any jurisdiction, you need to be paying attention to what's going on here. Particularly if you're in the US or if you use a US crypto exchange at all. If you have funds on that exchange, you need to get them off right now. Or if you have a cryptocurrency on that exchange that is listed in the SEC's list of cryptocurrencies they deem to be securities in these lawsuits, and you don't want to be along for a 3-year ride before you get clarity on whether or not it is a security, 3 years, which may be 3 years of just pure sideways, boring, like gray area, then I would probably suggest you consider whether or not you want to be along for that 3-year ride. Maybe you want to get out now while you still have an off-ramp. Maybe you say, you know what? No, I believe in this thing long term, and I don't care if it takes 3 years for me to get out of it. I don't care if it takes 3 years for me to prove my thesis. I'm sticking with it. Either way you slice it, that's great. But I want you to have that conviction. You need to be thinking about those things now. So for people that are in Cardano, ADA, for example, people who are in Algorand, people who are in Filecoin, whatever, I'm just naming some of the ones off the list. If you're in those coins and you're like, I don't want to be in this for 3 years, I'm not going to commit to that, then you need to start making that decision. Very likely that, including Coinbase, by the way, these off ramps and then on ramps to these certain cryptocurrencies in the US are going to be closed altogether. We're talking every single US crypto exchange: Kraken, Gemini, Coinbase, Binance US is pretty much already off the table. There are a lot of things that have yet to happen that will happen, and they will happen rather quickly. So start thinking about that now. If you use a US crypto exchange, get your funds, any funds you want to keep long-term in crypto, move them to a self-custody wallet. Any cryptocurrencies that are listed on the SEC's list of securities in terms of tokens, think about whether you want to be along for the ride as these court cases get fought out, knowing that these coins may not survive however long it takes to get that regulatory clarity. They might not, and that's just the truth. If you're abroad and you're looking at this, you should also be thinking about how these things that are happening in the US will likely influence policymaking decisions, even where there already is policy being approved and made, i.e. in Europe, for example. If the US does something, and this happens a lot in the West, If the UK does something, the US might consider doing it. If the US does something, Europe will likely consider doing it. Canada and the US often sort of follow each other in certain policymaking decisions. So just bear that in mind, because just because decisions have already been made doesn't mean they can't be changed in other places. And also, the US being removed from a part of the market is not a good sign for cryptocurrencies, certain altcoins. So if you're a holder and you're in Europe and you're not directly affected by these rules, but you're a holder of, you know, X cryptocurrency that's listed by the SEC as a security, you know, there may be a little bit tighter liquidity coming up. There may be people selling out of this cryptocurrency because they don't want to be along for the ride as we figure out whether it's a security. So those are things that you have to think about. These are actions that you have to take. And I don't think that we are going to end up in a place where the SEC prevails. I don't think that's the case. In fact, like I mentioned maybe four episodes of the show ago, I actually think they overplayed. I actually think that the SEC has done a good job of keeping it, the area, very gray for as long as possible, so they can do this and they can take this enforcement action. It makes Gary Gensler look like he's a knight in shining armor for those who hate crypto, for those who feel that crypto is really only a cesspool for greed and scams and black market dealings and all sorts of nefarious stuff, which it is not. However, I actually don't think that at the end of the day, barring a few cryptocurrencies that surely fit the bill for traditional securities laws, that we're going to fall back on that original test, the Howey test, and some of the 1930s securities laws that are trying to be applied to a technology that's only existed in the 21st century. So I can't imagine courts settling that way. But at the same time, weirder stuff has happened in the courts, right? Because you are relying on judges to make decisions. But at the end of the day, people are worried about a crypto ban. Okay, there's no crypto ban even close to being tabled here right now. The only way that a crypto ban could be executed is through lawmaking. Congress needs to be involved. And maybe unfortunately and fortunately, the legislature right now has become very partisan as it relates to this issue. In many ways, you have one side who's very anti-crypto and one side who's very pro-crypto. You know what that means? It means you have a big old stalemate, and it's very difficult to get wide-ranging policy implemented and passed across the board through both the House and the Senate, and then signed by the president in order to do something like banning crypto, because it's a big fight. So while I hate that it's a partisan issue, because it really didn't have to be, it kind of works in our favor now, because at this point, it's not going to be easy to pass any legislation with regard to banning crypto, or also on the flip side, right, this is the negative part, protecting crypto is going to be a lot harder as well. These court cases are going to take years to resolve, and I'm pretty confident in that. Again, not a lawyer, don't think that I need to contact a lawyer to ask the opinion, because usually these court cases take a long time. Just look at the Ripple case. It's taken a long time, and the issues that in play are actually in some ways a lot simpler or a lot lower in scope than some of the things that are being alleged against Binance and against Coinbase. So here we are. We are in a very unenviable position in this space, and I fear that in general, this will dissuade a lot of people from building something in the United States. That is the true symptom, or the true result, or the true consequence of what's going on now. I remember, and I'm not going to state exactly who it was or what company they worked with, because they may or may not be involved in what's going on now with regard to like a legal defense. But I remember going to conferences in 2017, all the way through into 2020, 2021, speaking to founders and chief legal officers or general counsel for crypto projects or the organizations, the open source organizations behind them. And they would tell me that out of all the money that they raised in ICOs or from VCs or both, that the largest proportion of their budget in the US was allocated to legal counsel, regulatory advisory services, and government relations. So that tells you the majority of the money that they were spending year over year had nothing to do with the technology, had nothing to do with user acquisition, had nothing to do with furthering their mission. It had only to do with survival and making sure they were postured for when this day, the day that we're in right now, would eventually come. And it just tells you how long this has been a problem. And it just tells you the gravity of the problem. We would be so much more advanced in this space today from a technology perspective and from an adoption perspective if regulatory clarity were a thing 5 years ago. People don't like it. People don't like hearing that because they're very anti-regulation, and I get why. I get it. But that's just something that the facts point to. A lot of money has been spent trying to defend projects against what we're having right now to no avail. All that money's been wasted, hasn't it? Because all the money that was spent on proactive defense gets pissed away as soon as legal action is brought, and you still have to fight it out. So that's just food for thought. That's food for thought. An anecdote that I think really tells you the gravity of the situation and how long it's been a problem. That's tens of millions a year, even for smaller projects in some cases that didn't raise billions in an ICO, to just plan for legal and regulatory issues. That's pretty scary. So anyways, I think I've rambled probably long enough. We've got 30 minutes on the clock. So I figured I could really just go into depth, share all my thoughts, really, truly stream of consciousness. This was not structured. I don't even have any notes today to refer back to think about what I was going to talk about. I figured I would just give you my perspective, unfiltered, sort of unchanged, and just film and share. And, you know, I welcome friendly debate. If there's something that I said you don't agree with, or there's something that I didn't say today that you think needs to be said, please share it in the comments, because that discussion is what helps everyone. And the best part is, we as people are allowed to change our minds too. So maybe you share something with me and it changes my mind about something, or I share something with you and it changes your mind about something. That really is a beautiful thing, is it not? So here's the deal. If you'd like to continue the conversation, please do continue that conversation either in the YouTube comments if you are a watch the show type of person, and if you are more of a listen to the show type of person and you're out there on Spotify right now or Apple Podcasts or whatever that might be, please do start the conversation with me on Twitter. My handle is @hashoshi4, and please be aware of impersonators. They're everywhere on every platform pretending to be me. Just know I'm not going to sell you something in the DMs, particularly not crypto mining or the next big 1000x altcoin, not my style. So with that being said, I want to thank you so much for stopping by, listening to this show of Crypto Over Coffee, somewhat unique one, a very off the cuff one, but we'll be back to regularly scheduled programming next week. I got to go get my son up from his nap in like 25 minutes. So I will talk to you again soon. Have a great rest of your weekend. And until next time, cheers.